Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Michael Singh, the writer, producer, and director of the new film Valentino's Ghost. This just released feature-length documentary film has a number of experts who explore the ways in which the image of Arabs and Muslims in the U.S. media have evolved over time and reflecting America's foreign policy agenda in the Middle East. Michael is half American, half Punjabi, and his other films include Good Sharma, The Prisoner's Song, Uncommon Journeys, Riding the Tiger, and The Rebel Queen. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michael Singh.
Thank you very much, Ian.
And the film, of course, is narrated by Mike Farrell, who's very much a friend of the KPFK, I might add, and features a number of Middle East experts. It starts out and it's punctuated by contemporary comedians. Is that the sort of sugar on the bitter pill, Michael?
Well, it could be seen as comic relief, but they themselves are pretty bitter in their antics. And they're sarcastic and they're using humor in to, I guess, overcome the pain that they feel living in the United States as a men of Middle Eastern heritage. And we thought that humor was also a good way to convey sometimes an uncomfortable storyline that Americans aren't used to.
So why is it then, Michael, that the narrative is different, at least it's questioned in Europe and England and other places? And I think to some extent the unconditional support for Israel is starting to fray a little in the contemporary situation over the obvious impulse on the part of Netanyahu to want to have war with Iran and against the wishes of the U.S. and his refusal to basically tell the U.S. that he's not going to do it. And we know that's going to come to head next week when Netanyahu visits for the APEC conference. Since you've been, you know, obviously born in India and been in Europe and here in the United States, what's your explanation? I know the film touches on a little bit, showing some of the British celebrities supporting the Palestinians and asking the question, why is it that American celebrities don't do so?
Well, there's an anti-intellectual tradition in this country that goes all the way back to its formation. You're just not allowed to be too smart here. I mean, I think that's what Obama is guilty of as well. But there is that, and so there is a lack of knowledge about other parts of the world and history. Whereas in Europe and in Israel itself, there's a lot of criticism of Israel because there is a knowledge of the history of that country. Here there isn't so much of that. And I think that there is a passionate belief in the saintliness of Israel amongst evangelical Christians. I think more so than most Jewish Americans, is the evangelical Christians are absolutely determined that this is the beginning of the second coming. It's the big sign.
Right, so, but they only want to use the Israelis or the Jews as a means in which to bring about the end of the world, which means that our world will end in burning flesh for their world to begin, and lakes of fire and rivers of blood and all of that spiritual pornography that they seem to be obsessed with. And the bottom line is that the Reverend Hagees and company, who are in your film, they just want to use the Jews in order to end the world, right?
Well, sure, and the Jews are going to have to decide whether to convert or be, incinerated from their vision. And I think that there is a certain part of Ahmadinejad's apocalyptic vision about the prophets coming down and in fact, in his version, Jesus is going to be present as well. So I'm not sure who gets to get the real Jesus. Is it going to be the Ahmadinejad side or the Hagee side? But he's going to have to be in one place, I think.
Well, there is, of course, you absolutely put your finger on it, Michael, saying there is this really deeply ironic similarity between Ahmadinejad's messianic beliefs of the hidden imam returning, the Messiah returning, and he sends notes down to the wells in Qom to the Messiah. He's a complete religious nut, but, how different is he from Hagee and company?
Not much different, except that he is of the wrong color And that's a big problem. He's got the wrong God, and we have the right God. And so I think the people with religious fervor can become, you know, Taliban-esque. I think that's the most succinct way to describe it here in this country.
Well, that's not to say, though, that I was just doing, I just did an interview the other day with somebody that spent a lot of time in Afghanistan as a UN political officer, and she speaks Hindi, Dari, Pashto, Urdu, all of the local languages in that part of the world, and really does, I think, know what she's talking about. And we're talking about the burning of the Qurans, and she pointed out the absolute hypocrisy of much of those sort of Sunni Salafists who are all raging there in the streets about the burned Quran. But in Pakistan, on a regular basis, the same Salafists burn Shia mosques and not only burn the Qurans, but burn the people.
Yes. Yeah, there is that hypocrisy there. But that's, I think, part of the tradition of documentary filmmaking is to point out as dispassionately as you can the hypocrisies that you see around you. And this is the one that I saw and wanted to have an evidence-based film. And that's why we have all these film clips and all the experts looking at the evidence rather than giving their opinions. They're trying to frame the images in the historical context, and that is what has upset quite a few people. But I do hope that your listeners will maybe even call their local PBS affiliates and try to persuade them that this is not a screed, and actually it may increase viewership, in my opinion. I mean, our biggest private funder, I think this can be made public, is a Jewish organization, the Skirball Foundation, because they understand the damages of ethnic stereotyping. Any Jew who knows history can tell you about that. So I don't think that their fears are well-founded, and I think that, yes, the film does veer from the national narrative, but perhaps it's time for that, and there may be many potential PBS members out there who will join based on films such as these.
Again, I'm speaking with Michael Singh, the writer, producer, and director of the new film Valentino's Ghost. Just released a feature-length documentary with experts who explore ways in which images of Arabs and Muslims in the U.S. media mirror American foreign policy as it's evolved over time. So it seems to me, Michael Singh, that what you mentioned earlier was very much on point, and that is that the real enemy is sort of anti-intellectualism, and quite often, particularly in this current political race, one can't help feeling that some of it's coming out here, particularly with, say, Rick Santorum, suggesting that it's elitist to go to college. He homeschools, which, you know, in many ways is a kind of a mirror of the Christian madrasas.
Yes, yes.
And I know that one of the great ironies, of course, of the so-called war on terror has been that no Christian or Jew could dissuade an Islamist from becoming a radical. The only person who could do that would be a moderate Islamist. And they're the very people that our policies and actions since 9/11 have alienated and stigmatized. You just have to look at what happened when Santorums and the Gingriches are now railing about the President Obama having a war on religion, and Fox News, of course, is stirring the pot there. I recall that Fox News was stirring the pot on the so-called Ground Zero Mosque. So, again, it seems incredibly selective that we can't, we talk about the First Amendment and protecting religion against the state, but it seems that we're very selective about what religions we protect.
Well, I think so, and I think that it's very important for American politicians to wear their religion on their sleeve, as opposed to in Europe and in Britain, where I think that would be almost an embarrassment. Here, you have to have a channel to God, and God is allowed to speak to you and will speak to you. So there's almost a prophet-like status that politicians here bestow upon themselves, and that, I think, helps to reassure an audience that may not know a lot about world history. I mean, you mentioned 9/11. if there is no knowledge of world history, then 9/11 will seem as if it was something that came out of the blue for no reason. And that is how it was described. Whereas if you look at the animosities of the Middle Eastern peoples towards the U.S., you will see that they began at the same time that the U.S. started meddling in the Middle East. And so it just became striking back in wider and wider circles until finally the circle reached the shores of the United States. But it was nothing new in that sense at all. It was just on a larger scale, and it was part of a continuum. That's what we tried to show in this film. But the anti-intellectualism is what blocks that kind of perspective, the high perspective looking down. And Santorum and his minions, I think, are very good at tapping into that and holding up the Bible as, you know, the main font of wisdom, which is, of course, a mirror of the madrasas, as you mentioned, in Muslim countries, where the Quran is held up as the alpha and the omega. So these are, you can't challenge folks who get their marching orders from God. You just can't.
Well, clearly you're using the medium of film here to try and get this much-needed message out about how we have portrayed so much of the Middle East over the, starting, of course, with Valentino back in 1926, all the way up to the present, and with experts and historians of the Middle East, as well as the punctuation from contemporary Arab and Iranian-American comedians who, as you mentioned earlier, in many ways their comedy has a hard edge because they're describing being hassled at airports, etc., and the sort of subtext of being Middle Eastern equals being a terrorist. I was very, very struck, though, Michael, by what happened a couple of nights ago at the Academy Awards, when that extraordinary Iranian film, Separation, won for Best Foreign Film. And I thought the speech by the director was very, very powerful and very moving. And it sort of really gives one hope that the medium of the movies can actually be used to heal so much of the ignorance and dogma that we're talking about here today, in the sense that both the film, The Separation itself, was such a subtle and beautiful piece of filmmaking that dealt with the human condition, and the filmmaker's speech transcended nations and tried to reach across from people to people in obviously a climate in which it's not inconceivable that the United States will be dragged into a war against Iran quite soon.
And imagery will be used if that happens, just as it was used to drag people into Iraq. Saddam Hussein, of course, was behind 9/11 according to that narrative, and that worked. There was a time when a lot of people believed that, and the same thing could work here. So I agree with you that Asghar, I think Farhadi is his name, appealed to love, which is so astonishing and optimistic, and I don't think it's a coincidence that love is also a New Testament order, almost. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, such things are very quickly forgotten amongst practicing Christians. But if you go back to the actual text, you will see that it's there. And he is, I think, appealing to a basic human emotion that is far deeper than any religion can claim. And I mean, the Beatles and rock and roll wrote about love. So for him to bring that into the conversation, I think was just, it was heartbreaking, and at the same time, it was inspiring. And why not use imagery, I think he was saying, to try to have a conversation and to try to heal wounds rather than be divisive.
Well, there's no question that the analogies, I think, are quite disturbing between the run-up to the Iraq War and the drumbeat towards a war with Iran. It's exactly the same methodology. And we've seen that movie before, and hopefully people won't be suckered this time. and it seems that the White House is not buying it as well. But to your other point, just in closing, Michael Singh, it seems to me that the perversion of religion, or at least the usurpation of religion, particularly in this country where the Prince of Peace and the Prophet Jesus, who after all did not carry an AK-47, he didn't hate homosexuals, he didn't celebrate capital punishment. In fact, he ministered to the poor and the downtrodden, and in many ways was a socialist revolutionary. It seems to me that he's become a front for right-wing politics, that, you know, the Christian right. It's hard to see where their theology begins and where their politics end. And in many ways, it seems to me that the common problem we have here, whether it's the right wing in Israel under Netanyahu, the right wing here with the Santorums and the Gingriches, the right wing has taken over in Iran. That's what Ahmadinejad and the supreme leader are in the political lexicon. Isn't that a better way to look at things?
Isn't what a better way to look at things?
Well, in other words, not to look at them in a religious context, but in a kind of political context. The real problem is right-wing politics, which, you know, translates where religion is just used as a decoration for right-wing politics.
Well, I believe there are two political... you may have heard this joke before. There are two political parties in the United States. There's the right wing, and there's the far right wing. And that is how I see it. And I think politics is exactly the way to look at it, and that's why we looked at it in our film with through political lenses, with commentators like Mearsheimer and Fisk. And that is, in my opinion, the only way to get deep into imagery, is to look at the political context behind it. Why were they created? Who created them? And what was the effect that was intended? That is how Saddam Hussein was blamed, successfully blamed, for 9/11. That is how the non-existent weapons of mass destruction were a catalyst for the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, is through imagery. And the politicization of imagery is what we are trying to get to the bottom of, to make people more aware that every image that you see, there is something political underneath it that is pushing it out to you. And there are reasons for it. There are reasons for movies to come out that are political. And they are not going to be discussed. They are not going to be dissected. The people in Valentino's Ghost do that kind of dissection and reveal the politics behind those images and the intentions of the image creators. And the more you reveal the intentions of creators of imagery, the less power they have over you. And so we are hoping that this film will be an empowering vehicle for people who watch it, and they will learn that it isn't just about images of Arabs and Muslims, but it's about the factory of imagery that is used, and very, very skillfully. If you look at propaganda from even as late as World War II, it looks naive to us, but it was sophisticated for its age. Very intelligent people bought into it. The same thing will happen 50 years from now when people look at the propaganda machines that are working overtime with us, not just with Iran, but of course with, you know, 10 years ago with Saddam Hussein. These propaganda machines are not, they don't label themselves as such. And Hollywood is definitely, you know, part of that. That's why the whole film is to show with evidence that the imagery that is coming out of Hollywood, we show that the imagery coming out of Hollywood is empirically, if you look at it, evidence-based, it is in lockstep with our Washington, D.C. power brokers. If we want to make friends with a country, Hollywood will accommodate you. If you want to make enemies with a country, Hollywood will accommodate you. These are not opinions. These are the facts as they can be easily unearthed by anybody.
Well, Michael Singh, I thank you so much for joining us here today and for your new film, Valentino's Ghost.
Thank you so much for your time. I really am very grateful for being able to disseminate this on your show.
Again, I've been speaking with Michael Singh, the writer, producer, and director of the new film Valentino's Ghost, just released a feature-length documentary film in which experts explore the ways in which the images of Arab and Muslims in the U.S. media mirror America's foreign policy agenda in the Middle East. He's also made films such as Good Sharma, The Prisoner's Song, Uncommon Journeys, Riding the Tiger, and The Rebel Queen. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about Saudi Arabian hypocrisy.
Bruce Rodner!
Sit down, man.
Glenn Beck!
Sit down, man.
Rand Paul!
Sit down, man.
LL Cool J!
Sit down, man.
Netanyahu!
Sit down, man.
Sarah Palin!
Sit down, man.
Newt Gingrich.
Sit down, man.
Toby Keith.
Sit down, man.